If you're just joining the broadcast, we're right in the middle of a conversation with Ben Perkins, the lead estimator at Fox Valley Electric, a Rosie on the House certified partner, talking about changing out your electrical switches to dimmer so you can control the light
production.
Production. There you go. Inside of our homes for, you know, whatever application we're going to dim it, whether it's, you know, a nice, easy transition in the morning or some lower yet enough light to read in the evening, some night lights so you can move through the house at the middle of the night without worrying about light bulbs and glares going off and coming on. When I'm at the electrical supply store, my option of dimmer switches is pretty extensive.
Oh, yeah. All sorts of different brands and different styles, and now coming in with the wireless technology, it's opened a whole new box for different types of switching that you can use. I mean, the old school ones that you'll see in older homes are the rotary switches. You just spin it up and spin it down, and, you know, that controls the amount of light that's being produced.
Do they still make those?
You can still find them, yeah. Not a lot of people are going that way. I mean, some people, if they like that style or they like the look, then they'll put them in. A lot of the dimmers you're seeing now are the slide dimmers. So there will be a master on and off switch. And then you'll have a little paddle that you can slide up or down and change the lighting that you want in that particular area. Much like the old school rotary ones where you had, you know, you'd pushed it in to turn it on, push it in, turn it off, and then you could spin it back up and down from there. And then they've got, you know, the wireless ones that...
Before we get to wireless, what is a manual adjusted dimmer? The vertical up and down slider. What is that going to run per switch?
Depending on the manufacturer and what other kind of funky things that you can do with them as far as having night lights and stuff in there, they're going to be about $24, give or take a little bit, at any, you know, big box store.
Okay.
And those are, I think, pretty common.
Now, jumping into the wireless, I'm assuming that means that it's got some kind of Bluetooth feature that connects to your smartphone and you can adjust your light dimmers that way.
Yeah. I mean, with the new, you know, now with Alexa and the Google Home and I'm sure whatever Apple's is, Siri, I mean, you can control all of those things with certain devices. And, you know, if you plug a lamp in, you can turn on certain lights, you can dim your lights to whatever percentage that you want. And that's a whole other spectrum of just individual lighting switches, because that really is whole home automation. That everything is controlled off of central programming.
And that's where the pricing starts to ramp up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're definitely getting up there. You're past the $24 for a switch at that point in time. But, you know, for those that like the technology, it's awesome. I mean, you can do some really cool things with them and change your entire house and sequence them if you wanted to.
Yeah. Do you have Alexa or Apple Home or anything?
I have Alexa in the house, and that's purely for music.
Yeah. We don't, and I still like to do things manual. But then on our music, we've got the Sonos music systems that you can use your music source or get your Pandora or your that's actually how the kids listen to the radio broadcast at home. They use Sonos and the TuneIn app to get the stream from the radio station.
See, it's crazy. The technology, that one little box, and you can do all that through there.
Yeah, pretty incredible. Well, that's your weekly to-do with Ben Perkins, the lead estimator of Fox Valley Electric, and with us. If you have your Rosie on the House home maintenance app on your smartphone, you can schedule that to-do, complete the task, assign it to somebody else in the house, or even if you schedule that task in your home maintenance for something in the future, you can list all the tools you'll need. You know, you had mentioned box store. Do you all have like an electrical supply house you like to use as well?
We use a couple different supply houses. I think for the general homeowner, I mean, the Home Depot and Lowe's, those Ace Hardware, you can find those at any point in time. Any of the major supply houses out in the Valley will definitely have them as well.
Well, you can get started with your digital home management and maintenance by going to rosieonthehouse.com/app. It's an extremely powerful tool, and it's definitely the future of home ownership. Well, that's your weekly to-do with Ben Perkins, the lead estimator of Fox Valley Electric, and with us. Ben, thanks for spending your Saturday morning here with us.
Mike, thanks for having us.
Well, there it is, the all-inclusive conversation about dimmers, dim wit versus dim smart.
And an interesting point, Authentic Garage Door called in one of our certified garage door company, and Perry from Authentic says, reminder, don't put LEDs in garage door openers.
He said to read the instructions. They're very specific about what they'll take. Otherwise, it'll mess them up.
And a texter said, don't forget the Renaissance Fair giveaway. Ah, we do have tickets. I'll do that coming into the next break because I don't even have the details in front of me. So
let's go to the phone.
Let's go to the phone.
We've got Doug, who's been very patient, holding. Let's take care of a caller before we go on with our agenda and topics here. Mr. Doug. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Enjoy your show.
Thank you, sir.
I've got a roofing question for it.
Okay.
Got a roofing question for you. Have a place in Strawberry, Arizona, and it has a asphalt shingle roof.
Okay.
And I've had the place for 10 and a half years or so. I don't know how old the roof is. So I'm wondering if there's a way to look at the shingles or substrate or something and be able to tell whether it's time to replace it or not before it starts leaking, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, great. So you're not leaking.
Is there a telltale sign?
Not leaking now at all?
No. Okay. No, everything's fine.
It seems
like there may be a little. Go ahead.
One of the things we look at in a three-tab fiberglass shingle is set the ladder up where you can reach over the top of the eave and just kind of brush your hand over the top. You shouldn't break loose lots of granules, okay? Those granules should still be embedded pretty well into the asphalt bitumen product, the fiberglass product that's holding the granules there. The other thing is you stand back and look at it. Make sure you're not seeing bald spots where the granules have actually just been eliminated and you're seeing the straight fiberglass bitumen product itself. Those are a couple of the, and of course, if you're missing shingles, of course. My question would be, boy, if I had a cabin in Strawberry, I would look really hard at a metal roof. Really, really hard for a whole lot of reasons. But a good 30-year three-tab fiberglass reinforced shingle is going to be your economical choice. As far as who could do that, I don't have a Rosie certified roofer in Gila County. But I will tell you this. When they had the Happy Jack fire, the insurance companies contacted Rosie on the house and said, hey, will you come up here? We can't get enough contractors up here, qualified contractors, to help us put these homes back together. And we went up there, we interviewed a lot of subcontractors and talked to a lot of people. They aren't Rosie certified, but I can get you the name of a couple good roofing specialists in the Payson, Strawberry area. But I'm going to have to do that offline, okay? So, Doug, we've got
That'd
your
be
phone.
Cool.
Doug, we've got your phone number.
Can I ask you one?
Yeah, sure.
Can I ask you one question about the metal roofs?
Yeah.
We had a really good snow last February up there.
Yes, you did.
It was like 30, 36 inches.
Yeah, baby.
And it was crazy to try to dig out of that. But I happened to be standing outside in the front yard looking around, and I saw a whole section of snow on my neighbor's roof come off at once, and he has a metal roof.
Yes.
Just a whole big sheet of it came off all at
Avalanche.
Once.
Avalanche!
Yeah. So is there something you can get on a metal roof to prevent that?
Yeah, you can break that up into sheets by certain applications of slide breakers that can go on there. You certainly can. That's a good point, because that attic's warmer than the outside air for sure. So everything underneath the snow is getting melted loose, and it melts loose to the point where it becomes one giant slide, and whoosh, it all comes off at once. But how many times is Strawberry going to get a 36-inch snow dump? Not very often. And generally speaking, we're not dealing with that kind of quantity. But when we are, or if you want to cover those contingencies, they do make safety devices that can be installed. So there you go.
Speaking of roofing, there was an interesting report Kraft Jack came out with where it was studying contractors for what trades are hardest. You've got, and they broke it down by most physically demanding according to contractor and most physically demanding according to the consumer's perspective.
Oh, yeah?
And then they had one, another one, which trade is most difficult to master according to contractors
trades.
And then according to what the consumer's perspective is.
Who did this survey?
Kraft Jack.
I'm not familiar with them. Okay, so what were some of the results?
Well, most physically demanding, according to contractors, the number one trade was roofing, and by at 13%. And according to the homeowner's perspective, the consumer's perspective, it was number one at 20%.
Hmm.
Now, here's what's funny. Contractors who identified their specialty as most demanding, physically demanding, get this, the roofers didn't even pick themselves.
Okay.
You know what trade picked themselves as the most physically demanding, according to the trade?
I tell you what, if you lay block all day long or you become a hod carrier, I would have to think maybe that something in the masonry. You, as a hod carrier trying to keep up with four journeyman block layers, you are going to be frazzled by lunchtime.
I'm going to guess plumbers because all the contortionism they have to do.
You know, that was down at 3%.
Oh, okay.
Now, both according to contractors and consumers. Okay, this shows you what, you know, the manly man attitude. Masonry didn't even pick themselves as the most physically demanding.
Okay.
Painters by 61% said ours is the most physically demanding.
Now that's peculiar.
Huh.
That's a surprise.
I'm stumped. I don't get that.
A man doesn't need to tell you he's a man. That's what this result tells you.
Okay.
Don't complain. Get up there and do your job. But I got to get my little paint bucket and my roller. So physically demanding. I mean, pull the trigger and spray some paint here in the back roll.
Oh, man. I can just see the emails and texts now.
Oh, here comes the phone calls, too.
I can tell you another trade that is surprisingly a lot of work, and that's applying plaster. And in the old days when we used to apply plaster with a gun and splash it on the wall yards at a time, the guy on the Darby to level it all off, if you were the Darby man, you had shoulders, traps, delts made of steel. You literally could not lift your hands above your belt after about 3 hours of following a good gunman.
Didn't even make it on there. 61% of painters in the survey said theirs was the most physically demanding. Carpet cleaning was number fourth at 50%.
Well, that goes, if you have to move a lot of big, heavy furniture, maybe.
I'm not buying it. Flooring was number seventh at 43%. Now, I will say that will kill your knees.
Yeah.
Depending on what you're doing, that could kill your knees.